Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'd like to welcome you to today's broadcast. I'm glad you could join us. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'll be preaching from the book of Philippians chapter 3. I started this last week in the message of rejoicing in Christ. And today I want to pick up at verse 3 and go on through some of these verses on this subject. Where is my confidence? Where is my confidence? Now we all, if we claim to be Christian, if we claim to be saved, we base that on some particular ground or action or something that we can point to in which we have confidence. I know I'm saved because of what? Why? Based on what? Well, the Bible tells us that confidence is only to be in Christ by the grace of God. If you'll look at verse 3, I dealt with this verse last week, but let's start here, where Paul says, for we are the circumcision. He's talking about spiritual circumcision there. Circumcision of the heart, which is the new birth, being born again by the Spirit through the Word of God. You must be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of God, that is, with spiritual eyes, and you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And the evidence of the new birth is we worship God in the Spirit, we worship God as the Holy Spirit guides us in the truth, and we worship God from our spirit in the heart sincerely. And in truth. And we rejoice in Christ Jesus means we have confidence in Christ Jesus. We boast in Christ Jesus. We glory in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. And so my question today is, where is my confidence? And I hope you'll apply that question to yourself. Where is your confidence? Now, Paul defines exactly what he means by rejoicing in Christ, having confidence in Christ, and having no confidence in the flesh. And it's very interesting. Now, I want you to see this. We're going to look at verse 4. He starts out by showing what he means by the flesh. And I mentioned this last week, how the flesh in the Bible, context determines its meaning. Flesh can sometimes mean the physical body. Jesus Christ had a physical body, but he had no sin. He was made flesh and dwelt among us. But sometimes the word flesh is an emblem for the evil, sinful principles that run through our minds, affections, and will. Evil thoughts, evil motives, evil goals. We could go right on and on. Sin. And that's all that an unbeliever is. But even believers, we still have those sin principles. Some people call that the old nature. And that's okay if you don't take it too far. But when we're born again, we're given a new spirit, new life, a new heart, a new knowledge. Whereas we're given faith to believe and repentance. We're given the gift of repentance. And so, when Paul says, I have no confidence in the flesh, look at what he's talking about. Look at verse 4. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. Now, what Paul's about to do here, he's going to show something that's very interesting. He's going to show, look, I don't have any confidence in the flesh. I used to. Before I was born again by the Spirit, I had confidence in the flesh, and I had no confidence in Christ. But now I have, but having been born again, circumcised in the heart, now I have confidence in Christ and no confidence in the flesh. But he's saying, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any sinner could boast in the flesh. Paul was saying, I could. Now, Paul is not just bragging here. But basically, here's what he's telling us. If any sinner could have been saved by their works, by their attempts to keep the law, I could have. And look at what he says. He says, if any other man, verse 4, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. And so he's actually saying, now, that what Paul is writing here is inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's not just Paul bragging. But he said, if somebody comes to me and expresses their confidence of salvation because of what they've done or what they haven't done or how they've tried to keep the law, he's saying, I can do better than them. I'm more. Well, Paul, what were you doing? He says in verse 5, circumcised the eighth day. Now, you know what he's saying there? He says that even as an infant, he was keeping the law of circumcision. That's physical circumcision. Because when a baby was born, on the eighth day after that baby was born, it was to be circumcised. And that the reason for the eighth day, I don't have time to go into that today. But circumcision back then, physical circumcision, was a type, a picture of the new birth. Circumcision of the heart. And that comes, if the new birth, being born again, circumcision of the heart, is the fruit and the result, the product, if you will, the issue, if you will, of the work of Christ on the cross, which he finished, indicating the seventh day. He finished the work and then he rested. And as a result, his people will be born again. All right? And that's what that's about. But he says, circumcised the eighth day according to the law. Verse 5, of the stock of Israel. Now, he's talking about himself physically. Of the tribe of Benjamin, an honored tribe. And Hebrew of Hebrews, not a mixed blood, but a pure blood Hebrew. As touching the... Now, what he's doing there, here's what Paul's saying. Before I was born again of the Spirit, before I was brought to faith in Christ to plead His blood, His righteousness as my only ground of salvation, here are things that I had confidence in of the flesh. And he's saying, first, I had confidence in what I was. I was circumcised the eighth day. I was of the stock of Israel. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. Paul, before he was saved, thought those things recommended him to God, gave him a leg up, as it were, with God. And he says in verse 5, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Now, we have ideas about the Pharisees, but basically, what Paul's talking about, a Pharisee is one who was zealous of the law, who went above and beyond to keep the law. They were the super religious. Okay? And he's saying that, touching the law, I was a Pharisee. I wasn't just a lukewarm person. I was hot-blooded for the law. And then he says in verse 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Now, you know what Paul's saying there is that before he was saved, he looked at the true church of the living God as being heretical, being cursed. And you know the stories about Paul, how he held the coats of those who stoned the evangelist Stephen, how after that he made havoc of the church because he thought it was heresy. He was convinced in his unbelieving mind that Jesus of Nazareth was an imposter and that his followers were heretics. And under the old covenant law, any of those were to be put to death. And so he says, I persecuted the church. That was my zeal. He was zealous in his cause. And then he says, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Now, what he's talking about is his outward character and conduct. Nobody could rightfully accuse Paul of being a lawbreaker according to the Old Covenant law. And so, look at verse 7 now. Now, keep in mind, all those things he described, that's what he puts in the category of the flesh. His best. And then he says in verse 7, "But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ." Now, that's what happens when a sinner is born again by the Spirit under the truth. Everything that that sinner thought that recommended him unto God, his works, his decisions, anything, just like Paul, he comes to see that those things that he thought gained him access to God, blessings from God, salvation from God, that they are nothing, loss for Christ. Christ is everything. Those things are lost. It's like an accountant. He has a profit column and a loss column. Before he was born again, all these things were in the profit column. I was circumcised the eighth day. I was of the stock of Israel, Hebrew of Hebrews. All these things. It's touching the law, Pharisee, keeping the law. Those were in the profit column. And what was in the lost column? Jesus of Nazareth and his followers and his heretical doctrine. But then something switched. There was a radical change of mind, a radical change of heart, where all those things he put in the profit column, he now puts in the lost column. They didn't gain me anything. They were sinful. They were iniquity. They didn't glorify God. They didn't exalt Christ. They didn't humble the sinner. And now they're in the lost column. And now Christ and his gospel, that's all there is in the profit column. You see that? Now you know what he's describing here as evidence of the new birth? He's describing true faith, God-given faith, and true repentance. This is where it comes down to. When God the Holy Spirit circumcises the heart, the mind, the affections, the will, He cuts away the filth of the flesh. Those things that we thought were gain, He cuts them away. He exposes them to be evil deeds, sinful acts, based on a wrong motive and aimed toward a wrong goal. And he cuts them away and puts them in the lost column. And he brings in Christ. And that's the gift of faith. For by grace, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved. Not of work. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. So, he puts it all in the loss column. And Christ is in the profit column. Faith in Christ and repentance of dead works. All of those things that Paul listed in verses 4 and 5, 4 through 6, they are the dead works of an unbeliever that appear righteous unto men, but they're a stench in the nostrils of God, aimed towards salvation. So verse 7, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." Now here's the question. Where is my confidence? Where is your confidence? Is your confidence totally in Christ? Is it totally His blood to wash away all your sins? Is it totally His righteousness imputed, charged, accounted for your justification? Or is it anything else? Because you see, most people today, their confidence is not really in Christ, though they may be deceived into thinking He is. Most people today who call themselves Christians, I find, Their confidence is in their faith. You say, well, you're just splitting hairs there. No, I'm not. They sit under a false message that tells them that God loves everybody, Christ died for everybody, not to secure the salvation of anybody. But it was just some kind of a blanket pardon that has no effect, no success, unless you make the difference by your believing and your repenting. Well, my friend, if that's your case, you don't have confidence in Christ. You have confidence in your faith, in yourself. You see, faith is the gift of God. We don't have faith by nature. We fell in Adam into sin and death. We're born spiritually dead. Unless you're born again, you cannot see or hear or enter the kingdom of God. We don't have, naturally speaking, the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. That's the case. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none that doeth good. In order for a sinner to have faith in Christ, God has to give him that faith. I've quoted Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. Well, verse 10 says this, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto, not because of, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So faith is the gift of God. And you notice, when Paul came to this conclusion that he describes here in Philippians 3, verse 7, where he says, now my confidence was in my works. Now my confidence is in Christ, and I have no confidence in my works. And so, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. When Paul came to that conclusion, he was on the Damascus Road. Now, you remember that story of Paul on the Damascus Road. I believe it's in Acts chapter 9, 8 or 9, somewhere around there, talking about Paul's conversion. Now, what was Paul doing on the Damascus Road? Was he going to a prayer meeting? Was he going to hear the gospel preached? No. Paul had set in his mind and heart to persecute the church. And he was headed to Damascus on the Damascus Road to arrest believers and bring them under the judgment of the law and to have them killed, have them executed. But God miraculously, sovereignly stopped Paul in his tracks and spoke to him. Remember, Christ said in that vision, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he changed Saul's mind. He changed his mind and brought him to faith in Christ. Paul was not a willing participant up to that point. But he was given a new heart, a new mind, a new will to believe in and follow Christ. That's a gift from God. And Christ didn't look at Saul and say, now Saul, I love you and I died for you. If you'll just do your part, I'll say, no, that's not in the Bible. That's a concoction of men because it sounds good and it draws crowds and it gets people feeling good about themselves. Paul came to this conclusion because God revealed to him the Lord Jesus Christ and the righteousness that Christ has worked out for the salvation of His people, and compared to His righteousness, all my works are filthy rags. Now look at verse 8 of Philippians 3. And I'm going to come back and go through these in more detail. But here's how God brought Paul to that conclusion, to where his confidence is in Christ and not in the flesh. He says in verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. To know Christ, who He is, what He accomplished on the cross. You see, the gospel is not simply a historical statement of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Yes, He died. Yes, He was buried. Yes, He arose again the third day. But just to know and believe those historical facts is not the gospel. The gospel has to do with who Jesus Christ is. His person, His glorious person. He is God in human flesh. I read a survey the other day on the internet where they surveyed so-called Christians and asked them certain questions. And they asked this question and said, "Now you believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Do you believe He is God?" And I think they said somewhere around 50% said no, and others said they weren't sure. Well, my friend, if you don't know the person of Christ, you don't know the gospel. The good news of salvation is in a person. And who is that person? He's God manifest in the flesh. That's who Jesus Christ is. God-man. Only one who is both God and man in one person could do what He accomplished for the and ensure the salvation of His people. And then secondly, it's not just that He died and was buried and arose again, but what did He accomplish when He died? And why was He buried and why was He risen again? He accomplished in His death the complete, sure salvation of all for whom He died. That's what He said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. This is the will of Him that sent me, that of all which He hath given me I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day." And that's the knowledge of Christ. What did He said, it's finished. For Hebrews 10:14, "For by one offering He hath perfected," completed, "finished forever them that are sanctified," those whom God set apart and gave to Him before the world began. That's what He did. He established righteousness. Look here at Philippians 3:8 again. "I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win or gain Christ." And look at verse 9. "And be found in Him." I want to be found in Christ. "Him as my surety, my substitute, my redeemer, my representative, my intercessor. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ," the faithfulness of Christ to do what He came to do. Finish the work. Work out a perfect righteousness. And He says, "the righteousness which is of God by faith." Faith is not our righteousness. Christ is. But when the Holy Spirit gives us a new heart, when we're circumcised in heart, when we're born again, God gives us faith to lay hold of Christ as our righteousness. You see, God doesn't declare me righteous because I believe. God declares me righteous, and as a result, He gives me faith to believe. That's what the Scripture teaches. It's not of yourself, lest any man, not of works, lest any man should believe. It's the gift of God. And that's what we find here. This is how Paul came to have confidence in Christ. Where is my confidence? My confidence is not in an experience that I had in a church where some preacher preached some message which I didn't pay attention to, where I walked an aisle and got baptized. Is your confidence in something like that? I'll hear people, when they talk about their salvation, they'll always go back in the past to some experience they've had when they walked an aisle and they say, quote, "gave their heart to Jesus," unquote. You see, salvation is not giving your heart to Jesus. Salvation is Christ giving you a new heart. And He does own it. It is His because He gave it to you if you're saved. And they often go back. And that's where their confidence is. I've seen people in a revival meeting when I was in false religion. And they would get emotional and they'd walk an aisle and they'd get baptized. And sometimes, some of these people, you'd never see them in church again. They go out and just live like whatever they wanted to against the Word of God. But when they die, the preacher always preaches them into heaven because they gave their heart to Jesus. You see, that's not where our confidence is to be. Is that where your confidence is? If it is, it's a pipe dream. Where is my confidence today? My confidence is in Christ and the righteousness that He worked out by His obedience unto death, the faithfulness of Christ. And my hope, my confidence, my assurance is to be found in Christ. I want to be in Him. I want to be in Him by God-given faith. I want to be washed in His blood, clothed in His righteousness imputed, because He's my confidence. He's the Lord, my righteousness. Peace and assurance has to be based upon something that is perfectly righteous. And I'm telling you, anything that I do or anything God does through me, it comes through this sinful flesh and is not perfect. It does not equal the perfection of righteousness that I can only find in Christ. And that's what faith is all about. Even our faith is imperfect yet because it's mixed with unbelief and doubt. A believer is not in unbelief, but unbelief is still in him. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Isn't that what the disciples asked the Lord? Do you ever have moments of doubt? If you ever complain or murmur, wonder if God has forsaken you, that's unbelief. But I believe in Christ. I know whom I have believed in. And I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. And He will not let me go. My confidence is in Christ. Where is your confidence? Where is my confidence? It's in Christ Jesus. Oh, to be found in Him. Oh, to know Him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's confidence. That's an assurance of salvation that can only be given to a sinner by God Almighty. That kind of confidence in Christ doesn't come except through the new birth. And I hope you'll enjoy this message and hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.